The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of the Kiefer and Curry Show. It's Kip Kiefer, and of course, I'm Tony Curry. We sit around and talk about things that are important to us, mainly sports-related kind of stuff. And Kip, how you doing, brother? Everything good? A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. Major League Baseball season coming to a halting end here shortly. We got, of course, college football kicking off. We're doing the show on a Tuesday. It kicks off in earnest week one coming up on Thursday night. But how are you in the sports world? I know you've been staying very, very busy.
Yeah, I got a lot going on, and that's just how I like it. I'm not real fond of idle time, but love being able to allocate time for college football. Man, it was not an auspicious debut to watch your first game of the year in your new home theater, and it's Vanderbilt and Hawaii. But, Tony, I stuck in there every step of the way, and it actually turned out to be a pretty decent game, which doesn't really speak well for Vanderbilt, who beat them by 50 points last year. But it was great, and if my appetite was wet now, I'm absolutely just can't wait for more college football, and we get to see the Florida Gators, coached by what my broadcast partner Terry Quillian lovingly refers to as Sunbelt Billy, go out to Utah to play the Utes on Thursday night, and let's go. More football, the better.
And Bill Napier, one of those guys that several people actually thought would be the first Nick Saban disciple to actually win a national title before anyone else who came out. And he's kind of behind the angle. I got forced into watching that Notre Dame Navy game. I remember when Notre Dame and Navy used to be kind of special, and I'm watching that game and I'm thinking to myself, and I kept being told by several handicappers, not Case Kiefer, by the way, from the Las Vegas Sun. He did not give me any picks. But I was told to take Navy plus the 20.5 because it was going to be Dublin. It was going to be rainy. Notre Dame's got a new defensive coordinator. You got the triple option. You got all these things. And then all of a sudden I did a halftime bet and I thought I'm going to bet the over 49. So there I am sitting at 42. With the ball down on the 5-yard line, first and goal. And I'm like, okay, I'll get a push out of this because I ain't getting the 20.5. And of course, they kick the field goal on a 4th and 17. So that's how my college football season started out, but that's okay.
Well, we're gonna get you righted this weekend. Case Kiefer is working feverishly, and I promise you he'll come up with some gems.
Yes, the starting lineup, by the way, our first show happening this Saturday morning on September 2nd on ABC 3340 from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. It butts right up against that first ACC game. Of course, Virginia taking on Tennessee, so we get a little taste of SEC action as well. You can watch that show every Saturday morning, 10:30 to 11 o'clock, every Saturday morning on ABC 3340. It's called The Starting Lineup with Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry, so check it out. So in the midst of all these things where things are kind of slowing down a little bit, and of course we had the week zero in college football and it wasn't very pleasant to watch, but it was college football. I'm flipping around and I see the LLWS, and I'm thinking the LLWS, the Little League World Series. Now, it has been pretty much wall-to-wall coverage for over 2 weeks on ESPN and ESPN2 and the network of ESPN television stations. You can't get away from the Little League World Series. If you want to check out a sports center, chances are you're going to see the Little League World Series. I don't know how it works. I don't know how teams get in. I've heard that you've had to pay to get in. I know there have been teams in the past that have been in. I know there's other Little League teams that are probably better than some of the teams that actually play in the Little League World Series, but they don't have the financial fortitude to get to actually play at that level or on that stage. But there I'm watching El Segundo and Curaçao, and I'm going, okay, well, I might as well watch this game. So I'm sitting there in the fifth inning or the fourth inning, and it's 5-1. And I'm thinking, okay, and they load the bases. And next thing you know, I'm watching this Nasir El Assos kid hit the grand slam. And I'm thinking, okay, this is pretty cool. We're sitting there at a 5-5 game in the Little League World Series, the final game. I didn't watch the third place game. And I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. And then I'm seeing a kid who has hit more home runs in this Little League World Series season than anyone else. He had hit 4. He hit his 5th as a walk-off home run. And I'm thinking, okay, this is just an amazing game to watch because it doesn't matter what you're watching. It could be women's soccer. It could be pickleball. It could be anything. If it gets down to the last shot, it is a great sporting event. And then you're throwing in the fact that this is the Little League World Series. I'm thinking it's pretty cool. Are you following me so far?
Oh, I'm right with you.
And I don't know if you watched it at all. And then right afterwards, they're spending some 10 to 12 minutes interviewing the kids. asking them who are their favorite movie stars and who are their favorite baseball players, and they're pouring water over their heads, and it's a beautiful moment. And then I see the commercial that comes on right after: buy Little League World Series merchandise now available. Now available, El Segundo World Series Champs 2023. So I get on the site, $39.99 for a t-shirt, $49.99 for a hat. And I'm thinking, Kip? And you're the first person I thought was, said, Kip, here we go. All over again. We're fixing to do a pay for play. We're talking 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. I had a problem when the ESPN started scrolling high school football scores along the bottom of the screen during Saturday action. I didn't think it was right. I'm thinking, you know, and their whole moniker this year for the Little League World Series was, let them play. Just let them play. Just let them play. They had these beautiful documentaries, if you will, these little pieces. They were showing these kids, you know, eating their mac and cheese and putting whipped cream in each other's hair. And they're riding bicycles in the back streets. And they're doing all these wonderful. And they're getting together and they're playing sandlot baseball on Saturdays when no one knows they're even practicing. The next thing you know, they've gotten to the Golden Land where they get to go to Howard J. LeMay Stadium and play in front of hundreds, if not millions of fans, not only in the stadium, but also on ESPN coverage. And by the way, ESPN covered every game there was until the Little League World Series. And of course, it wasn't on ESPN. It was on their sister station, ABC 3340, which is the same station. You know, we're going to be the World Series of the starting lineup coming up on that show on Saturday. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, why did ESPN cover every game? And all of a sudden, when you have the World Series, the Little League World Series, they move it to network television. Well, you know why. Money, 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 money. And so all I could think about were all the people, including ESPN, making tons of money off these 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. Am I setting the table for you for where I want to go on Kiefer and Curry this weekend?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am sitting with my knife and fork in hand.
Well, I'm going to let you take it away because I have rapped long enough. I've got a problem with this. I want these kids to play. I want their notoriety, but I feel like we're taking advantage of these little kids, and I think ESPN is the king guy to do it.
Yeah, Tony, we've watched this evolve over the last, I would say, 15 years. The Little League World Series, and I was a full-scale participant back in the Fred Flintstone era in Little League Baseball. I played all the way up until the last limit that's sanctioned by official Little League. And again, now remember, like everything else, Little League Baseball is just one of the brands of children's baseball. You could play up to senior league, which was the league after majors, which is what we're watching in the Little League World Series. And you mentioned that's a few 10-year-olds, very few. Unfortunately, I got to the major leagues in Little League when I was 10 and never played. It was a discouraging year because I really should have been playing full time at the lower level, but prepared me for my 11 and 12-year-old years. And I actually made one of those all-star teams that is selected at the end of the year. It's a big deal, a lot of hoopla. They make the announcement of who's going to be on the team. And it's a one-and-done thing. You go play a tournament with like four teams. As soon as you lose, you go home. And that was my experience as a 12-year-old. I got a chance to do it again when I was 15 in the senior league in Little League. And it's the same format. It's kind of amazing because there's a big finals for that tournament. You go to the nationals, you keep advancing through regional tournaments. It's a complete summer long commitment. You got to win like three layers of tournaments to get to the finals, but we don't pay any attention to the 13, 14, and 15-year-old division. We're obsessed with the 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. So that's kind of interesting to start with. I guess when you get to be 13 or 14, you know, you're almost an adult or whatever their perception is. Not as popular, which I've always wondered why that is, because it's the exact same kind of format without the big historic stage at Williamsport. I don't even know where they have the finals in that. But I'm saying all this because I think they've learned they can cash in big time on the continually expanding coverage. I mean, about, I don't know, probably in the late 90s, we started seeing ESPN televise the final weekend of the Little League World Series.
You're right.
It got down to the to the final teams. Then they say, well, you know, this is pretty compelling. Let's back it up a week and start getting the teams that have survived the first round or two. Now, like you say, every single game from the time these teams land in Pennsylvania are on. And like so many other sports, this is always rife in controversy. We've had Danny Almonte, I'll never forget the kid's name, pitch for a ragtag bunch from Brooklyn who became the darlings of the country and looked like that was one of the great stories of all time. Until, Danny Almonte's 14 years old, pitching in a 12-year-old limit situation and striking at everybody. So, of course, they were stripped of their title. So all of that emotional drama and time invested turned out to be a huge scandal. And there's been other controversies every year because just like high school football, which you mentioned, which is a great correlation, there's so many schools that are now clearly, the evidence points to recruiting players and paying families to move into their district so their kids can play high school football at these big powerhouse schools. That's in the Birmingham area. That's a prime example. And Thompson now, who's thriving with the Tagovailoa brothers coming through there and a number of other luminary players in recent years. So, like everything else, the whole idea of where these kids are coming from that are on these teams that become all-star teams, because Little League is not what it used to be. Most of these kids play travel baseball, pretty much every calendar day of the week. So these are de facto, they might be 11 or 12 and still squirt whipped cream in each other's hair and do kid things. But these kids are being more and more stylized to be the stars of the show because, like you said, this is a cash cow opportunity for the networks. Everybody, they exploit the stories. They tell the heartwarming tales of their families and their trials and tribulations and the kids being kids. But really, it is just a vehicle to get into your pocketbook. And my question back to you, Tony, is how long is it going to be before parents of these kids start saying, well, you know, there's millions of dollars being made here. Our family and our kid needs to be compensated for playing in these games.
There is no doubt
around the corner.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, and listen, I'm okay with that. We're doing it in college football now. Just tell me what it is. Don't try to stop taking live shots at Cardboard Hill, showing kids eating watermelon in between the third and fourth inning and passing notes to their girlfriends between the fifth and sixth and tell me we're just letting them play. These kids are being taken advantage of. They are. And if you are a smaller kid in a social economic challenging issue, your mom and dad are never going to be sitting the stands at a game like that because your team's not going to have the money to travel and do travel ball like everyone else is. That's what I'm saying. I know there's a baseball team out there that's probably better than them. This would be a great movie, by the way. All I want to know is this what we're going to be doing again? Because we always do this. We always do this. We take something really, really pure, something really, really cool. The reason we don't have 13, 14, and 15-year-olds, like you said, they're prepubescent. They're too old. They're not cute anymore. They're not puppy dogs. These are puppy dogs. These are 10, 11, and 12-year-olds that actually play. They don't make a lot of errors. There's no pass balls. And we enjoy watching a 10-year-old make a throw from third to first as fast as they can. Obviously, the bases are a little shorter. The rules are a little different. They don't play as many innings. But, I mean, if that's what this is going to be, and we're going to monetize this and turn it into a multi-million dollar thing, which is what we're doing. We've already done it. ESPN, I got news for you. ESPN, which makes roughly $500 million a month, $500 million a month just on cable subscriptions. We've been cutting the cable for about 6 or 7 years. They're not lapping on or latching on to something like the Little League World Series unless they're making serious jack out of it. And when I start seeing them selling merchandise, I don't know if that's through the Little League World Series or whether ESPN has a piece of that. And by ESPN, you're gonna listen to me right now, and you're gonna agree with me. I will bet you anything within 2 years, you'll be able to bet on the Little League World Series. You can already lay you can already lay money. There's lines through my local guy. I could have bet on the Little League World Series behind the dumpster guy, right? The guy's calling me up saying, hey, by the way, I got El Segundo minus $1.65. You want some action on it? You can already bet on it. They're making their own lines. But since ESPN now is also in the gambling world, I can promise you. I mean, you can already bet on high school games. That's a no-brainer. That's no big deal.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm telling you, we're going to start betting legally. Legally, you're going to start being able to bet on a 10, 11, and 12-year-old, and people are going to start making money on that. If when that starts to happen, it's gotten out of control. And the only people that are playing the game that have no say in it are these 10, 11, and 12-year-olds who are actually just letting them play. Us adults are getting in the way. We're creating this mass hysteria for Little League World Series. They got the highest ratings they've ever had in the history of the Little League World Series this year. Probably a lot of it had to do with the fact we had a 6-5 game with a grand slam and a walk-off, which was just fun to watch. I just want the purity of what this game stands for to remain intact, and it's already gone.
Yeah, it is gone. I think I've highlighted on the show before, my kids years ago turned me on to the brilliance of the South Park guys, who nothing is immune from abuse from the South Park guys. Anything that they think needs to be chopped down a couple of pegs. A couple of years ago, I think they saw this coming. They're like, classic. Did you see the South Park?
Yes.
When the South Park Cows are advancing in the Colorado State Tournament, and they're going, this is ruining our whole summer. We're not going to have a chance to do anything else. If we keep winning, we're going to play till school starts. And in the final game to see who goes to the national tournament, both teams, the big Denver team and South Park, they're both trying to lose. I mean, they're both trying to throw the game. And it's absolutely hilarious because all the parents in the stands are getting in fist fights, and the managers are furious, and everybody's hopping around, and it, the kids are the only entity in that whole situation that don't want to play anymore. And I kind of see an atmosphere maybe developing that way, because, you know, the more they exploit these kids, I mean, it's got to be super cool to be a 12-year-old and be on TV.
Yeah,
but you have to play. And you mentioned a great point. Some lower economic families or communities are not going to be able to be on the road away from their jobs and everything for an entire month, because you don't just play on the weekends. You play in these tournaments. I mean, there might be 12 teams in each regional or each step of the way, each district. So this is a summer long. That's why right now schools started everywhere else, and these kids are in Williamsport, Pennsylvania,
yep.
playing in a baseball tournament.
You're right. So,
figure that out.
How often would mom and dad let you skip school to go play in a baseball tournament when you were growing up?
Never.
But you got these parents saying, oh, it's okay, son. We'll miss the first couple of weeks. We'll homeschool you. It'll be fine.
Yeah, this is much more important than your education.
I mean, and listen, I don't want to take anything away from these kids, and I want them to continue to play because I think it's important. Again, I'm not sure exactly how you get to be in the Little League World Series. I think it's wonderful for these kids. I'm not sure exposing them to this type of fame and fortune, and I use fortune very loosely, fame and fortune at this level, I don't know how that's good for them. I've seen a lot of rock and rollers, including Michael Jackson. Andre Agassi was another one of those kids.
Quite
frankly, he did not want to play tennis, and his dad made him play tennis. He turned out pretty good, right? I mean, he was a champion, but he even wrote in a book about, you know, just how difficult his childhood was. We see a lot of childhood prodigies who, quite frankly, just hate their lives because they don't get to live life as a child. They're like, well, they're playing baseball. They'd be playing baseball outside, not 4 or 5 games a day their entire summer. They wouldn't be doing it. And again, you know, when you're talking about 10 or 11 or 12-year-old, do they really know what's best for them? You know, this is a show we can do for another point, because I know you have sons. I have sons and a daughter. You know, at what point do you push your child and say, listen, you've made a commitment here. We're going to follow through on this. And that's one thing. But when they don't want to play anymore, but they're really good at what they do, are you like, do you push that dream on them and say, listen, I really think you're losing something here by not continuing to play ball for another 3 or 4 years? Or do you let them go off and do whatever they want? That's another show for a different time. But I don't like being sold a bill of goods when it's not really what it is. And I kept seeing the commercial, let them play, let them play. In other words, just let them be, let them be. And as of right now, I would say there is a disconnect between what these kids are doing on the baseball field and what is going on in and around them, as far as in the enterprise and making millions and millions of dollars off these poor kids and they have no clue. But it's only a matter of time. Like you said, you throw the South Park out there, which, by the way, was one of the funniest episodes I have ever seen. If you've not seen it, go pull up Little League World Series South Park. It's one of the funniest episodes you'll ever see. And I could probably do an entire show just on that. But, I mean, it's just a matter of time before these kids deserve to get paid. They do need to get paid.
Amazing.
They need to get something, some type of stipend. You know, what are we giving them? 50 cents, a dollar every single week for cutting the grass?
Full disclosure here, Tony, and this might be violating some kind of sacred agreement from back in the day, but I'm going to admit, as a Little League player, I was paid one of the parents every week would sponsor and put up the money. It was probably 50 cents a piece for all 12 players. So about a $6 investment, which at the time seemed like, wow, so-and-so's parents, we could go to the concession stand after the game and pick out a soft drink or a snow cone after a job well done, win or lose. So I actually had an NIL deal as a Little League player.
That's the other thing. You talk about allowances right after the game. The kid who gets the kid who hit the game walk-off home run got an Orange Julius.
What a deal.
He gets an Orange Julius, and there's mom and dad who are eating prime rib and getting they're not sitting coach on the way home. I got news for you. The kids are sitting in the back of the plane. The parents are sitting in first class. He's drinking an Orange Julius, and all of his buddies are giving him Zerberts and stuff, and the parents are getting home, and they're probably getting some big bank deals. It's a travesty. But I mean, it was a great game. This is the first year where I've actually watched the Little League World Series from start to finish. I don't know why, because I know what it is, and I just feel like these kids are being taken advantage of. But pay the kids. Give them $1,000 a piece. I mean, what they'll do is they'll give the kids like somewhere between $100 and $1,000, and it'll go into a trust. Right? They won't be allowed to spend the money right away, but each kid should get some type of stipend that they can use later on in their life for appearing in the Little League World Series. And it probably should come in the pockets of ESPN. I mean, I'm a Kenya. I mean, because they have taken this. Listen, when ESPN shows up, it's a great day. They say two people you don't want to see at your door is 60 minutes and IRS. But when ESPN shows up at your door, it's a good day.
Open up.
Because you know you've done something right. And if they're making money on it, and you know they're not airing the Little League World Series if they're not making some serious bank on it. They'd rather play Sports Center for 24 straight hours than play the Little League World Series if it's not making money. Someone's making some serious jack on this. So, hey, listen, one show we're hoping to make a little money off of, and we're going to make a lot of friends and a lot of viewers too on ABC 3340 every Saturday morning, starting this Saturday, September 2nd. College football kicks off in earnest, a week one, if you will, coming up this Thursday. I can't wait to sit down with you. We got Terry Quillian's going to be part of the show. Your son, Case, is going to be part of the show from the Las Vegas Sun. We've got the legend. He's going to be doing his Tide forecast. We're going to be doing that. And our first guest, Al Del Greco, is going to be getting Minuteman of UMass come calling to the Auburn Tigers and Hugh Freeze his first year. Throw a quick question at you. Who wins more games in their first year as head coach? Is it going to be Hugh Freeze or Trent Dilfer?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I need to look at UAB's schedule, and I'm planning on doing that. I'm out of town. I'll be flying home tonight. I'm going to take a look at UAB's schedule because I was asked a question on another show I guessed it on last week, my expectations for UAB, and I know they're stepping up. And congratulations to everybody over there. I know you do a show with the athletic director, and they've got to be really excited to be entering the American Athletic Conference, which has some more marquee names, and it's a step up from where they've been. But I know they're not predicted to do very well, but my answer on that show, without being expert on their schedule, was do not ever underestimate what UAB can accomplish, because that has been a school. Coach Clark has put in a system there, and Trent Dilfer now inherits that, of them doing a lot more than the experts think and being a lot better team, a lot more competitive. UAB is a program that everybody associated with it should be proud of. So nothing they do on the field, Tony, surprises me. So I'm gonna say I think Hugh Freeze would be doing well this year to manage 7-5. I think 6-6 is probably a lot more realistic. He has started to turn things back in a positive direction, but he still just does not have the horses down there.
Yeah.
And I think UAB probably has more in the cupboard going into the season than Auburn does in terms of experienced players and guys that have been there. They had a great year last year, and nobody really talks about that. And then they won their bowl game against another conference champion. I think it was Texas San Antonio. So all that added up, I'm going to say that that's going to be very interesting. I know competition's tougher, but I'm going to go with UAB with 7 wins and Auburn with only 6.
All right, there you go. We're already talking college football. We're supposed to be talking Little League World Series, but we can't stay away from it, man. It's going to be great.
We're just talking about guys that are making big money and guys that should be making big money. We can tie it together that way.
All right, the starting lineup with Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry every Saturday, 10:30 to 11 o'clock, right on ABC 3340. It butts up against that ACC early game of the week. This is the Kiefer and Curry Show on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.